don't think that would work for raisins, would it?
No. We'll call to order the 28th of August meeting of the River Grove Water District at 4:32. And pull up my agenda. I pull on my glasses.
Here you go, Chris. Is that all?
Oh, thank you. I still need the glasses to read.
I have an extra one. You want that?
Oh, sure.
I always make two.
Public comment?
None.
Okay. Review and approval of the July 24th minutes.
Pretty straightforward. I move we adopt the minutes as drafted for the July 24th, 2023 meeting.
Second that.
I agree, but I will abstain since I was not able to attend that meeting out of town.
Okay. So it is a four yes and one abstain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I was in Buffalo.
Got to be there. It's that time of year, not
time. I asked, I don't want to take time, but I asked, you know, was there ever buffaloes here in western New York State? And I said, oh, no, it's way too forested and all that. But the French guy who explored this area in the 16th century saw the Niagara River and Niagara Falls and called it Buffalo. And it just got corrupted to Buffalo.
I never knew that.
Yeah?
That's funny.
It happens. Okay. We've approved the minutes. General manager's report.
All right. Want to touch on the well one generator. So when the fire marshal came out and reviewed the generator placement, everything was fine. But as I put in my report, the it's requiring extra venting modifications in accordance with fire code. So when those materials will be received, the generator project will be completed. We still need to do screening around it. The carport that we had originally intended to put around the generator,
the manufacturer is
not recommending that. And even if we vent it from the top and create the holes, they absolutely are opposed to that. So I am getting with a landscape vendor to give a bid on planting arborvitaes on the west side to accommodate the homeowners there and their complaints of the generator. That generator was tested and it does come in within residential decibel levels. So that's a good thing. We can't run it yet though. It's not on its weekly rotation schedule because it doesn't meet the venting requirements yet. So we extended the contract out to the 30th of September, and so the contract price with the approved modifications will bring it at $71,000, but that doesn't include the planting of the arborvitaes, which I think will probably add $8,000 to $10,000 on for the final contract price, and I'll adjust that after I get bids on the planting.
Excuse me, on the arborvitae, those are highly flammable.
They are.
And I would certainly discourage you from getting those because the little leaves fall inside and they pack up.
I'm totally on board with you on this, Sherry. Not only that, but they're highly prone to a virus which kills them, mm-hmm. and then you have an incredible fire hazard.
Yeah, they just explode.
Yeah.
Because of this dryness.
Yeah.
I actually wanted red tips, so very well noted. I understand that. I actually wanted to do Fotinia red tips in, but it was the fire marshal that told me the arborvitaes. The arborvitaes are 12 feet away from where the generator sits, but I can modify that. That wasn't in the permit that it mandated that we had to do arborvitaes.
Good.
So I'll check and look at
Fotinias. You're a master gardener, so I'm sure you
or red cedar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah. I'll find something.
So red cedar. It gets really big.
It does.
Well, we actually want something big about 20 feet.
Oh, they'll definitely get 20 feet. I had some that I had to get.
And we have to.
They'll get 20 feet in diameter, too.
Yeah, and that's bad. So it has got to be something that's contained that doesn't infringe upon the safety zone of the generator. So I'll do research on that.
You might even contact the Clackamas Soil and Water Conservation District and ask them for, they'll give you technical assistance for now.
And the OSU extension will as well.
All right.
So is the goal of it a visual screening then for the neighbors so they don't see the unit? Okay.
Visual and noise.
It does also attenuate noise a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Not as much as I think that what they think, because you know as well as an engineer, sound barrier, it's the thickness. It's not, you know, that's why they wanted the carport over there.
It's also carport, the perception.
Exactly. And that's what you're dealing with. Their perception is our reality, unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at that. So I'll get the prices on that, and then we'll get a final project price on that. So again, we hope to have the modifications made to the venting by the 30th of September. And I told Turney that we can move that out as much as we can, because I don't know if you're aware, there's a shortage of trucking within the United States, and they don't have enough truckers, so it's not so much the supply channels anymore. It's actually in manufacturing, fabricating, it's actually getting the supplies that you need to the location. So that's a soft contract completion date of September 30th. The River Grove...
And their performance has been fine, right? It's not a performance issue at all.
Oh, not at all. No, not at all. And in fact, we should have been aware of that to start with. And when I had researched permitting requirements, the City of Lake Oswego told me there are no permits. Well, that is true. There are no permits. But that doesn't count for fire permits, and I think that's a breakdown with the city. I think any type of permit, there should be a one-stop shopping where, no, Janine, you don't need a City of Lake Oswego permit, but you do need to go through the fire marshal.
City of Portland has that, yeah.
I think it was David Smith that Herod, gave us to do the permitting, and he was wonderful, came out, met us on site, and expedited that permit for us. So, again, it's just a matter of getting the venting in, getting it installed, and then getting the sound barrier up for the neighbors. The River Grove...
Janine, I have a question on this, or would you like me to say my questions until the end? I don't want to interrupt you if you're...
Oh, go ahead.
So the only other question I had with this, with the bollards, was that originally part of the scope for the generator install?
No, that's a good question. So we didn't know that bollards were required, and that's something that I address with RH2. So the bollards are required because of the venting of the tank protection, and it was a fire marshal that actually came on site and told us that, so that took me totally by surprise. I picked the removable bollards, which is a cost of $8,000 more. I could get stationary bollards for roughly about $11,000. I chose not to do that. I got a quote for the removable bollards at $18,000 because we need that with the site size and location. There's one thing that I think Chris hears me complain a lot about, or, you know, vent a lot about, is in the past, I understand the district, we had limited funds and we did different things for different projects, but it is beyond reason to me on sometimes why we took the course we took. The well 2 generator alone, when we had to have that pump replaced, that generator could have moved down 5 to 8 feet. Just 5 to 8 feet would have made a big difference in replacing the pump. We paid an additional $12,000 on labor alone because it took Schneider so long to remove the pump because the place was so cramped. I also found out when we had to...
You couldn't get a crane in there. Right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And it took a whole day just to get the crane positioned. And that's unacceptable. And so one thing that I've, you know, have talked with Chris about, I'm not opposed to spending more if it's what we need for the district. And in that case, we should have moved that down 5 to 8 feet. Somebody should have caught it, should have spoke up and moved that generator down. What would it have taken to move 5 to 8 feet down? We have the land for it. There's no excuse for that. And what was very frustrating is Chris Schneider actually came out and he spoke to me on site and he said, Janine, we said at the time, this is really going to hamper us if we ever have to replace a pump or we really have to get in and do maintenance, you know, your casings or whatever. And his concerns were just ignored. And I've developed a relationship with him. I believe he actually said that. I believe he's been vocal. He's been vocal about me on with me on stuff. And so for the bollards, going back to Oldgate, it is such a tight squeeze in there. We need to have them removable so we can maneuver when we need to.
At least on one side. Maybe not all the way around.
But even when you go in to place it, say that generator ever goes out and you guys need to have another crane come in there, because we couldn't even get the crane in there. The generator had to be delivered over at the manufacturer. The contractor, we had to get a special truck and a special crane to get in there. And I asked Chris, too, why is everything so compact at Well 1? And I didn't understand that. And Chris, you don't mind, Chair Roth had told me, at one point, the district had thought, because that's such a big lot, maybe one day doing a two-parcel partition. But I don't know why the district would have done that, because we need the storage room. We need the room at our well sites.
Oh, we need the clear space, absolutely.
So that's been frustrating. So I made the call on the bollards. I stand with the call on the bollards, and I want them all removable.
Are these going to be steel or wood?
Oh, steel.
Steel.
Yeah. Just like we have up at Reservoir 3.
Yeah. But the city, like Oswego Parks, only has wooden ones.
No.
Which break off nicely at the ground level.
I'd say they
ours screws, and they just come off. I mean, we've had to, when the Doosan went up to Well 3, if we would have had stationary bollards in front of our pump tank, we wouldn't have been able to get it in there. They had to maneuver. Thank goodness we were able to remove those. And so very passionate about that. About removable bollards at all three of our well sites. None of them we have a lot of room. And so we're going to pay extra for that, but in the long run, it's worth it for the district. I think that it will...
It dresses up the appearance of the site, too.
Well, it's not about appearance. I'm talking about functionality.
Yeah, but
and that's
is,
what we need to...
It makes it look a little more tailored. Things
and it's safety. And so the fire marshal, again, didn't even realize that. I'm so glad he took his time and came out and met on site with me. The River Grove Elementary School, that continues to have some issues. We worked there all day Friday, had to send the water operators out. The vault specifications weren't followed correctly, had to get Kyle involved in that as well. We came up with a plan of how we wanted the vault. We now have problems with the backflows, even though we aren't responsible for testing the backflows. The cross-connection program is governed by the district, so they are going to have to make modifications and corrections to the two backflows that they put in, because we won't accept the install as it is now. There's not enough clearance, and it's not in accordance with state rules. So more to come on that. I reached out on the grant project, and I reach Matt Matea. There's no status on the grant project, but I did want to brief the board. In June or July, one of the board commissioners had said about a special grant the EPA was rolling out for $50 million. I inquired into that, and that is true. The EPA rolled out $50 million, but the $50 million we don't apply for. Out of the $50 million, I got a breakdown of where all the money went. Oregon only got $826,000 of that $50 million, and we do not meet the requirements because we're not underserved or a disadvantaged community. So I just wanted to report. I did check into that. And we don't qualify for that funding. I'll continue to look at other grant resources. The Clackamas County paving project occurred the week of the 7th through the 11th. We were involved with that, worked hand in hand with the two paving contractors, Clackamas County hired, as well as John Sparks, who is the OPR for Clackamas County.
Got that done in a hurry.
They did. They did a wonderful
very
job.
Very well organized. Yeah, Tualatin's a nice drag strip now.
It is.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you all know this, but how that got funded was one of the River Grove, I believe she's now the city manager, because I think Heather Kibbe is no longer the city manager, worked a grant project and got all that funded by grants. So a big kudo to the city of River Grove. But in that project, I told you the cost to the district. One thing that John Sparks notified me about is our cans are over 63 years old. Our cans to our valves.
So we're
going to have to replace those. And he actually wanted them replaced this time on the paving. So I went back and looked through records that I could find here, and there's nothing about that. So I'm in the process of creating an Excel spreadsheet with capital improvement replacements that need to be on our radar. We're going to have to amass funds for that. That's something totally unexpected. It's just like the well.
The CIP project.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing, working on. I'm trying to go back. And unfortunately, I don't want to say records weren't good. I think I want to say it that there were electronic records. And so when people keep that within your email and you set up your folders, when you go, that doesn't, that email account is canceled and a lot of our history is gone. There's not like out on the hard drive, there weren't folders set up like for, you know, well replacement, well improvements, you know, who point of contacts were. So I'm going back and it's a laborious process, but it's going to be well worth it for the district. Trying to go back and look at all the projects we did, when they were done, what's the expected time frame on them. Like I had no idea that well 2 pump was going to go out, but I should have, you know, that should have been on my radar because a submersible pump is only good 10 to 15 years. So with that project taking place in 2011, we were pretty much on borrowed time. Well, pump 1 was replaced at the same time. So I'm now very, very sensitive going in there, listening to the pump and knowing, wow, we're going to need, and that's a bigger pump, that we're going to need probably about 60,000 for that pump. Hopefully that'll be a lot easier because the topography is different at well 1 than, of course, than it is at well 2. So hopefully we won't have, you know, those high costs of labor on our contractor side. So I'm working on that, and thank goodness for QuickBooks. Our QuickBooks program goes back to the year 1999. So that's how I found a lot of data, just going back and seeing who our pump people, who our chlorine generator people are, and getting prices on what they paid, the year they paid. And that's what I'm focusing and pinpointing for me, giving me a really good history on when these things were accomplished. So I think that'll be very good, very valuable for the district going forward.
Janine, a question for you on the well 3 replacement, pump replacement. Mm-hmm. Did they replace the screens at the same time?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, they did. So Clackamas County paving, again, I'm keeping that on the radar and trying to figure into our capital improvement plan for the can replacements on that. Production consumption, unless you have any questions on that, it was pretty well standard. I think we continue to do a good job of accounting for our unmetered water. There were no surprises. It is not 100% accurate, as I did not have meter reads for the hydrant valves that the contractor's using, over at the River Grove Elementary School. So if that wouldn't be much. If it fluctuated at all, I'd say we're probably at 6.2% versus 6.8. But that's a guesstimate just off prior usage. Backflow program, we did courtesy reminder tags on the 17th of August. We had mixed reviews. We had a lot of customers call, thank us, want us referral for backflow testers. And we had about 3 customers that were angry and felt that they were threatening in nature and that they'll get their tests done when they get their tests done. So, but overall, it was positive. And I was actually surprised the calls that we got thanking us of reminding them. Again, I think next year we'll start with our newsletter on the February billing cycle and try to get out the message that everybody should get their backflow tested before summer irrigation system starts. If that's the one takeaway or the one educational point I want to get through to our customers, that's it. Don't wait until August and September, the last minute, to get it done.
I got a question about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the law read you shall get it tested annually?
Annually.
So if I was to get, I just got a schedule for my neighborhood today, coming in a couple of weeks. There's like 8 of us to do it together.
I'm familiar.
If we were to have it done, say, in July instead of in early mid-September, would that mean that, the cutoff is still September 30, right?
No. Yes, for the district. So it's an annual requirement. State of Oregon requires you to test it somewhere between January 1st and December 31st. All districts impose their own suspense on that because not once you get yours tested, we have to then review the report. Lake Oswego has their reports in by 5 July. Tiger, my water district, we have to have ours in by 10 July. They're bigger than us. when I set ours, because this program wasn't created before the board voted on this back in 2020, I created ours for 30 September.
Okay.
And I actually originally created it 31 October and not...
For 1 October?
For 31 October, for you all to have your tests in by the customers. But I didn't take into consideration our back work on that. Then I understood now why, you know, Tigard has their date, Lake Oswego has their date. We have to, once you get your test, we get it in here. We have to look up, was it from a certified tester? Did you pass? We log our database. And there's after work that we have to do. Then we have to compile our statistics and we have to have them ready for the state by 1 February. So letting people have their test up to 31 December puts us under the gun and a lot of water districts. We also are very good on our tests, and I wish more districts would do this, and I am going to brag about the district we do this. When we get a backflow test, we look to see, is it River Grove? And we immediately, we have a standard format. We say, received, thank you very much, River Grove staff. If we get one that doesn't belong to us, because I get a lot of the ones for like Tualatin even, we'll put received, this is not within the River Grove Water District, and we'll take the time and look to see where the street is. And I have the Water Consortium Providers database on my computer where I can look up an address and it tells me exactly who your water purveyor is. Mm-hmm. And then we'll say this belongs to Tualatin. Now, we don't forward them to Tualatin, mm-hmm. but we let that tester know or that contractor know it's not a River Grove Water District. So when we got the tags, too, on some people that called, and actually they were very appreciative saying, but wait a minute, I got my test back in April. Well, you might have gotten it tested. I believe you did. But call your contractor because we didn't receive it at River Grove. And when you call, you need to ask them, did River Grove receive it? Because we'll reply back, received, thank you very much, and we respond. And I said, and we stand by that. So if they have a showing an email from us that we received it, then ma'am, I apologize. We'll contact them and get the copy so you don't have to. And we've never once had that ever happen. Not once. And I had a customer who's living overseas right now, and she was very, very upset. She was one of the three that was very upset, very scathing emails she sent about, you know, we need to get our stuff together. Come to find out, she used a contractor that has not been very good in the past and did not send us the report. So when she sent the email to us, she courtesied him, you know, basically chewing us out that we got it and we need to refine our process. And he replied the next day only to me, oops, my mistake, here's her reports. Hmm. So when I got those, I replied back to him, received, thank you very much, River Grove Water District staff. And I infoed her on her email. And then that happened on a Friday, and that Saturday, because I monitor, you know, of course, the calls and emails, she replied back and was very apologetic because she realized her contractor did not send it to us. And she, you know, was notified by her tag by a neighbor who's watching her house. And so she took it as, now you're bullying me and you're saying you're going to shut off my water. And I had my system tested in like April or May. Then she realized, in fact, her contractor did not send it. And her reports were not in. And Chin has taken over the backflow database and has made improvements to it. And I think she's done a wonderful job. I would say with 100% confidence, that's 99.9% accurate. She spends a lot of time on it and has redone it. She's very IT literate and capable, and she's made improvement to our tracking. So I stand by our current statistics that are reflected here.
Okay, good.
Last is the on-call duty. We had four call-outs this past, in the past 30 days. The broken district curb stop was a customer didn't follow the rules and had their plumber manipulate our curb stop so he could do repairs within their home. And, of course, he broke the curb stop. That required us to do an emergency response. And it also then required the next day we had to shut off approximately 24 homes on Kenny Street in order to make that curb stop repair. She is elderly and on a fixed income, and we reached out to her plumber. They met us out there the next day, and took responsibility, and then they have picked up the expense because we invoiced for our time, we invoiced for the curb stop, we invoiced for the door hangers, and it came to about $510. And people don't realize how much it does cost the district when we have to respond to broken curb stops when our customers aren't following the district ordinance. And if you noticed in your newsletter, I put that in the do not touch, because I do want to use this always as an educational tool. So I put in there, you know, how many properties were affected and how long it took. But I was glad to see the plumber stepped up and contacted us, and they're going to pay that $510 invoice and save that customer that expense because they accepted responsibility for what they did. For the finance and admin, our increase went into effect. If you saw on the first page, our revenue that was generated, $259,362, directly because of the increase in prices and, of course, increased water use.
Sure.
Our audit, we had our audit on the 27th of July, and Russ will be here at the September board meeting to give a briefing to the board. And that is it, unless you all have any questions for me.
I have a few questions for you.
Sure.
So for the Clackamas County paving project and replacing the valves, mm-hmm. Does Clackamas County
not the valves, just the just
oh, I'm
the
sorry,
can.
just the can around it.
Yeah, that's the cheap part.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Can's not the cheap part. Oh, can I interject real
Go
quick?
Yeah.
Can so when they were
the cost of a valve.
No, the lids and the tops. That's what,
part of the can.
Right. Yeah. But no, they break it down into three different parts. So I was going to say real quick, when John Sparks originally was going to have the district replace all there wasn't room for negotiation. The contractor was going to replace our can and our tops at a cost of $795 a piece.
Jeez.
And so that was ridiculous. And so reached out to John Sparks. And
who's John Sparks again?
He's the paving, he's Lidley Paving project manager for Clackamas County.
Oh, okay. County employee.
Mm-hmm, okay. Yes. But he's always, if you hear something about paving, there's very little that doesn't involve John Sparks. And so he, you know, backtracked that and said, okay, Janine, just have your guys out there to help us because they milled down approximately 2 to 3 inches. So on most of our valve covers, there was a 2 to 3 inch space. So we had, that's why we had to get the risers and kind of jerry-rig our cans and our valves. And afterwards, he was very pleased and we worked very well together. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Thank you for that.
I'm sorry. Could I get a drink?
Oh, please, go for it.
I'm
yeah,
so sorry.
No, don't apologize.
I didn't know you were a Beaver.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You
going
to
so
the game opener?
I want to. I don't know if I'll have time.
I got tickets through my alma mater.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I get to watch the Aggies get crushed. But I'll be seeing them in the stadium.
Yeah. So with the cans and kind of forecasting for future CIP improvements on replacing those, does Clackamas County share information in regards to their paving programs
yes.
and projects?
Mm.
Okay, so we can use that going forward to kind of
Correct.
Forecast and help.
So we knew about this one in November of last year.
Okay, that's when they did the utility notification for it?
Correct.
Okay, super. And then this is more of an idea, but for the backflow testing, is it a requirement that the contractor who performs the test send a copy to the district, or is that negotiated? Is it different based on who does it?
It depends on your contractor. It's not a state
sure.
requirement. So if you look at the newsletters, mm-hmm. not this one's a condensed one, but if you look at past ones, we walk them through. So when you contact your contractor on the state certified list that's out on the website, mm-hmm. ask them, you know, three important questions. Number one, do you send my test report to the district, or am I required to? If my backflow fails, do you repair it? Are you one-stop shopping, or do I have to contract out to someone else? Because remember, a lot of certified testers are just that. They're testers. They don't work for a company that can do the repair as well. And then what was the third question? Or did I get all three? So we have them ask those questions. So,
okay.
Yeah. And then we also tell them in the newsletter to also always get a homeowner's copy. I have someone that I've had for 12 years on my street, and we do the same thing that Commissioner Roger does for his street. We all get them tested at the same time. And they notify us in March, hey, we're going to be out in 2 weeks. They come out in 2 weeks. We don't know it. I don't see them. I don't care.
Sure.
And about 2 weeks later, I get my invoice to pay them, and I get my homeowner's copy of my passing score.
Okay.
And so that's what we try to educate and tell everybody. And I get mine done in March. And that's what I'm trying to tell everybody. Get it done before the summer irrigation. And so Commissioner Johnson was very, you know, forthright. I'm getting it back. I mean, an irrigation system. And he said, do I need a test? Unfortunately, yeah, if that system is installed before 31 December, you're going to need a test and you're going to forward it here to the district. And we have another customer on Gene, if you, or I'm so sorry, Childs, it's in a lot of extensive work. He's going to get an irrigation. He said, I won't need one this year. If that irrigation is installed by 31 December, you absolutely need a test. And remember, a lot of installers are not certified testers. So I, you know, when I talk to people on the phone, I say that too. If you're getting it installed, get it tested and ask your contractor, are they also certified to test? And get it one, you know, wham, bam, in one session.
So a lot of customers just email a copy of the report into the district office if the company doesn't do that, that they've contracted? Am I?
I would say less than 2%. Most companies forward the reports to us.
Okay.
If I had to guess, I see the incoming mail, I'd say less than 2%.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But ask that contractor when you hire them. Again, those three important questions. Were there any questions on the finances?
Well, I'll ask the generic treasurer question. We've had some unanticipated expenses that are all had to be handled. So we're eating into our reserves.
Yes.
Are you concerned about the sufficiency of our remaining reserves for this budget year?
Not for this budget year.
Okay.
But, yeah, I am concerned about finances, of course, always.
So?
And that's why I was trying to get with Matt Matea about, you know, when we're going to be on the docket, our turn to, you know, start our capital improvement projects over there on Childs Road.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, not anytime soon, but you had asked for that to be on each month. So I've made sure that's on there and, again, touched base with them.
So that's a reality check when we're considering how much of an increase in our rates we need to have for next year.
It is. It was a reality check when I thought we were going to have to do the cans this time on that. And that was just only a few little streets within River Grove. So that's quite, yeah. And when I got the estimate, and John, I didn't ask that, his contractor, to give us a quote on replacing our cans or lids. He just did that as a favor to us and then forwarded it. For the email to me, and I, oh my goodness gracious. Yeah.
Do you anticipate our guys, our field guys, will do the installation when we do that?
I don't know. I was going to talk to the board too about the lead pipe that, you know, I briefed you all on 2 months ago that we're required by the EPA to have done by October of next year. I don't see, the survey from the EPA.
Oh, survey.
So I don't foresee us being able to do that, and that's probably going to be sourced out. I attended the general manager's breakfast at the beginning of August, and all of the representatives there are sourcing theirs out, and Wilsonville has just been so magnanimous in sharing resources and helping us out, and they gave me who they've hired as well. And that we're probably looking somewhere about $70,000.
Really?
And I think, and I don't want RH2 to do it. I want it sourced out. And I will say this about Wilsonville. I think I told Chair Roth, with all of this development and construction going on right now, our district only owns two hydrant meters. And normally we wouldn't need any more than two hydrant meters. I've been here now almost close to 5 years, and I can't ever recall the time both hydrant meters have been checked out. Well, they are both checked out right now for the River Grove Elementary School. So when the Clackamas paving came, they hired two contractors, and they need access, of course, to hire fire hydrants. So I called Wilsonville, and Wilsonville was the first one to respond and said, absolutely, Janine, come up here. We'll give it to you. And I said, well, we'll rent it. We'll pay, you know, like, you know, we'll pay. And Delora, their general manager, was like, absolutely not. It's not like you're going to use it here. You will sign it out, use it however long you need it, and just return it. So when you all signed, and you all see this in here on my credit card, you might have saw the donuts for Wilsonville. I repaid them with 2 dozen donuts.
Could we send them a letter signed by the chair thanking them for that also?
Yeah, that'd be, mm-hmm. that would be wonderful. Yeah. They have been, and I called other water districts. I called Lake Oswego. I called, you know, Oak Lodge, et cetera. And I understand a water meter is somewhere between, a water hydrant meter, somewhere between $1,800 and $1,600, depending how fancy it is. So I understand that's a big trust there to let someone, you know, loan that out. And that's why I was willing to put down a deposit. Yeah. And Wilsonville was so gracious and was like, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Too.
But one thing, and I learned too, I learned so much at those breakfasts, you know, networking with everybody. We never owned locks, or we never owned lock bands for our hydrant meters. So when we loaned those out, it would have been very easy for someone to come and take those in the middle of the night. Well, I learned about lock bands. And so now we have 2. We've ordered them. They're here. And now we have them on our 2 that are loaned out. So now somebody could still it. They can come and you know, yeah, they could cut the lock. But at least it's a deterrent with the chains.
Is it? Are they marked in any way, River Grove Water mm-hmm. District?
Engraved.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the other one I got from a small water district like us. They loaned it out to us, and no fee or anything. So
that's great. Send
yeah.
them a letter too.
I will. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a great idea. And I didn't think of that, and I'm ashamed. I should have. I thank everybody with like cupcakes or donuts.
I've worked with the city of Wilsonville for 30 years, and I have nothing but good to say about
right.
it. Probably my favorite city in the entire metro region to work with, including Lake Oswego.
I would agree. They're immediate in their response, yeah. and they're like, what do you need? How can we help you? Mm-hmm. All right, and so that's it, unless there's any other finance questions.
Okay. Not that wasn't plenty. Water service ordinance, is that going to remain tabled?
It is remain tabled, and the update on that is... Chair Roth knows this, the other commissioners don't. We had an episode with an unstable customer, renter, and long story short, since this is an open meeting, we had to get our attorneys involved in it. So when Laura was looking at this aspect of whether we could get on the property for shutoff and then verify the repairs were made, she saw a loophole in our customer service agreement. And she's on vacation and back this week. I am on vacation, actually, starting tomorrow. So when I get back from vacation, I'll get with her. And that's going to be incorporated into the ordinance change as well. So it's like every time I think that we're pretty good and ready to present it, something else comes up. Mm-hmm. So the gist of that was, is a renter was on a property within our River Grove Water District, mentally not stable, and felt demons were after her. So how do you get rid of demons? You purify yourself with water. So she would purposely be in the house and would break the plumbing so the water would come out. So she used almost 500,000 gallons of water. And so I kept trying to work with the owner because we'd have to come and do a shutoff. And so one of those emergency ones that you saw on the board report was a response to that. And we'd get the water shut off. He'd go in and make the repairs. And the very next day, if something would be broken and we'd get a call from the neighbor, since everybody's familiar with it, there's water coming out the front door, we'd have to go and do another shut off. And so that renter is no longer part of the district. The owner actually had judge sign. She was evicted. Clackamas County had to respond. Crisis team had to respond. She was on a 5150 hold for 4 days.
What's that? 5150.
Where you're psychologically being evaluated, and it's against your will.
involuntary commitment.
Huh? Correct. And then was released from that, came back, and broke the pipes he fixed in those 4 days. So the water was off. The reason I briefed Chair Roth, because I didn't want to put the district in a liable position, it was the heat wave. And so we took water over there as well. But anyway, in dealing this with Laura, she said, you know, this is very similar to one other case we have. So in looking through our documents and what gives us our legal authority, she said, Janine, we need to tweak this and we need to get this in your ordinance. So as I said, when I get back, I'll get with Laura and we'll tweak that and we'll enhance that section that's in our ordinance, because the customer service agreement's in our ordinance. But it doesn't give us a lot of leeway if she's actually damaging our infrastructure. Because remember, outdoors when she broke pipes and stuff, that water initially is flowing back in, and there can be dirt and debris. And so that's what Laura's saying. That's the way we're going to approach it. If it's going to have any potential to contaminate the district's distribution system and supply. So that's my update. So
never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm looking to have it ready for the board in October.
Okay. We will look forward to that.
Well, that was very informative.
Yeah. A lot of information there.
Glad I don't live on Kenny Street. There's night and demons over there.
Gotta watch that. Okay, election of board officers. Jim.
I'd like to make a motion to nominate Larry McGurr as treasurer, Grant Howell as secretary, and Chris Roth as chair.
Second that.
Nominated and seconded. Any discussion?
I would like to nominate Grant as chair.
Do you accept that?
I don't know. I think I'd be willing to serve as secretary for a year, Sherry, before I consider being chair.
Okay.
That sounds good. So I'd like to have some time to work a little bit more and kind of continue to develop relationships and that kind of thing. That sounds good. So.
Sherry, do you withdraw your nomination?
I do withdraw.
Okay. So considering we have a slate of officers proposed, Grant, Larry, and me. Any other discussion?
It has to be a second
motion. Oh, Grant did second.
Grant seconded, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
It is unanimous.
Feels weird to vote for yourself.
I mean, you can vote for yourself in the regular elections that we're elected for, right? So.
You're right.
Okay, general
manager. I don't think I did.
No. A little bit larger pool.
General manager's annual performance report. Does everybody have a copy?
So there's a blank copy in the board packet. That's how we intended it. Were we intending to discuss that at the meeting here?
Well,
or
are there things to discuss?
Well, I'm assuming we would, do you have this filled out with the evaluation ratings and the feedback?
I don't.
Okay.
I didn't. I just assumed this was for information. It would be at a future meeting.
Okay. So I assumed we were going to discuss it today because you asked for feedback. And so
yes.
I filled out the form evaluations and comments, and I can give you a copy tonight.
Okay.
So I guess I don't want to put this on you, Chris, but how do you want to organize it to compile feedback? Because last year, we sent all our stuff to Mark Knudsen. Mark compiled it and then presented it. And then we had a discussion about it.
I am perfectly happy to compile it.
Okay.
Nothing that anyone says will be withheld.
Very good.
So
fill this out and get it to use, basically. Okay.
Yep.
Before the next meeting or...
Yep.
Okay. Well, we want to give you some time, too, so I'll try to do it in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great in the next couple of weeks.
And then I also saved it as a Word document to email that to you so you have that?
Sure.
Okay. If you want to copy-paste or what have you out of it.
Is that in the report, the packet for this?
It's in the electronic packet too, so you could
it's
probably.
It's in both.
I am.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I just took the Word doc from last year and cleared out what I wrote last year and then retyped it. Yeah.
Chris, do you want to leave it, put a date on that of when inputs are due by?
Let's see, what's today?
How long do you need to compile it?
I shouldn't need more than a week.
So our next meeting will be September 25th. We should get it to you by September 18th.
That works.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
I have no other crisis planned for that day.
That's good.
Well, I need to get this done because I'm getting the month September gets busier and busier. So for my schedule. So.
And then I guess the question of timing for next year. Do we want to start the process a little bit earlier next year? Because I think we did our evaluation was finalized in June or July. I think it was by the new year. So,
yes.
I know it's a little bit different this year. We're not paying Mark to do it for us. So
yeah, I think that that's a good idea to have. All of that done by the time the fiscal year ends.
Okay.
So that way we could do an election in July.
I knew what you meant. Okay. Yep.
Because our fiscal year starts July 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll get to it.
All right. Let's get back to the agenda.
Oh, I do have a sticky here.
The next thing we need to talk about is signing authority for banking and other financial documents.
What's the issue?
We need current signatures.
So we need
We do need signatures, yes, for the bank's deposit box and financial documents. But this is what I talked to the board about last month. I want to go back and be a signatory authority on checks. So that's what the new resolution is. Before the board had voted in the past, I voluntarily took the general manager position off, as we all know why. And everything has resolved itself.
So there would then be three signatories?
No, two signatories.
No, three people who can be signatories.
It would be four because three. It would be Janine and it would be
the board officers,
the
board chair,
officers.
The secretary, and the treasurer, and the general manager.
All right. Yeah, makes sense.
Does that make it easier for you, Janine, if you need
absolutely.
To remit payment for something?
Absolutely. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Although I generally get over here within an hour.
Yeah, you'll find she calls me when she can't track those guys down. So that's what will happen.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so.
We're elusive. Well, then we will go ahead and plan on. Do we need an approval?
You have to have a motion because it's a resolution.
What's the resolution number?
So to allow the chair, the secretary, treasurer.
I will move adoption of resolution 2023-04 as drafted.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any comment or criticism?
I guess my only comment with this is we had a policy in which the general manager could sign checks previously.
Yes.
And was the policy that we held previously that the general manager could solely sign checks?
No,
or did it previously?
It's always been two signatories.
Always been
two
signatories.
So in previous instances, there was another member, there was a member of the board, a general member of the board, because we didn't limit it to executive officers, who was also signing those checks that were an issue.
Right.
How do we ensure that won't happen moving forward? And I'm not, that's not a comment on Janine, but in general, as a board practice, this is something we had an issue with. We're going back on it. Is there a better alternative for it? Because
I'm not seeing the issue.
It's two signatories.
Yeah.
I guess that does take care of some of the internal controls issues,
right
that you would have with the signal, which is requiring a single signature on the check.
Yeah.
But.
So what's your issue then, Brad?
I'm just concerned that this doesn't line up with do we have an internal controls policy for our finances outside of any resolutions we've adopted in our board policy handbook?
Yes, it's out there on the policy website. And if I can answer the question,
sure.
This practice has been in place for what, the last 20 years? So what went on before, and I'm not going to get into that in an open mm-hmm. meeting because of legal, every board member had an opportunity to catch. Mm-hmm. And I'll just leave it at that.
This is very similar to what we do at Clackamasoil and Water. We have two signatures, and in fact, mm-hmm. the staff wanted to change it to just the manager could do it, and
right.
we would not allow that.
No.
Yeah.
But, you know, but we do have the two signatures and the like, and that's pretty common practice around special districts and
yeah.
such.
Especially on small districts.
Okay.
Where the potential is there to bleed the district pretty heavily.
Sure.
But I stepped up and I told the board I wanted to be taken off until everything was cleaned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an important step for the district because of what could have happened. And so now as the general manager, all general managers have signing authority. I think I've proven
mm-hmm.
myself to the district, and that's just part of my job. And I would like that back.
Sure.
I mean, I would personally like to review the policies that we have in place
okay.
before voting on this, just to make sure that I...
Okay.
Feel good about it. So.
Then we will vote on it at the next meeting.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you for the time.
It's, I think it's in the policy handbook.
Super. I just want to refresh myself on it before voting on it. So.
Okay.
So it is.
We are.
Banner Bank safe deposit box lease.
Yes.
So the deposit box hasn't been accessed in. Goodness,
I
don't know, probably 10 to 15 years. So in going through the finances and all of our financial...
One document in there.
Yeah, we have to have our new lease done. So the new lease, again, gives Board of Commissioners and General Manager access to the safe deposit box. So the form has to be signed. And in signing that... Also, the financial documents, the access card has to be signed, all new signatures on that as well.
Do we need a safe deposit box?
I can't answer that question because I've been verbally told what's in it, but I can't substantiate that. I've never had access to the box.
What have you been told is in it?
Documents for land easements.
Oh,
that's what the previous
stuff. It's an archive. Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's what the previous general manager told me, but I can't.
Wow.
I can't.
Why can't you have
any
access
title
to
company
it?
Would have access.
I was going to say easements are
again because when I
record,
when
right?
I took myself off
okay.
of signing authority, I took myself off everything.
No, yeah, I don't. Because you do.
I mean,
yeah.
you have
no.
like.
Well, the issue is protecting them from fire and the like. We don't need a bank
security
safety deposit.
Numbers,
like, we just get a safe fire box in here and lock them in.
Yeah. And Grant and I have in our own little conversation here, these are all public records.
Yep.
And we don't need to have...
Yeah, like you look, I mean, you look at the plat for Lorna Lane, you see that there's PUE and then there's an easement dedicated to Rivercourt Water District. I looked at the plats because I was curious. And it's on there clear as day. So I could see the sense in keeping them. I don't see the sense in keeping them in a safety deposit box. If
right,
we had
and
sense
incurring
that,
the cost of the
yeah,
box.
But we don't know what's in the box. I don't know if that's there. I've been told other things that did not come to fruition here. That so I have no idea what's in the box. I don't think anybody
right,
but, here in this table.
Then I would
let's
suggest that we form a little task group here and
yep.
go
yeah.
open the box
right.
and
yep.
see what's in there. It's probably a bunch of... I've gone through stuff like this with my brother.
I'm almost
my
afraid that we'd find in there about our previous manager.
It's probably something to be round filed almost immediately. That'd be my guess.
I don't
guess,
think she bothered to put anything in there.
So let's check it out.
And it costs us $150 a year for the annual renewal. So
yeah.
Here are the bank forms.
Well, let's save Benny, $150.
Right.
Yeah.
Give everybody, all the officers and the general
I could go
manager
there tomorrow.
Access
maybe
to
the treasurer may have something I should do. Are you free tomorrow?
Yes,
what
but I can't go. I can go with you, but I can't be there because I'm not on the form.
I'll go with you.
So I
you
think.
Free? Can you get free tomorrow?
Let me know when.
In the morning.
I would like to go too.
No, I don't want you to go.
That's
okay.
a quorum.
I was going to say
that. Oh, that's right. Oh, besides, I've got to.
Yeah,
I want
you and Grant go take care of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All you right, know, take ahead. Janine with you in case she needs to answer any questions once you look at it. But.
Let's choose
yeah.
a time right
I'd
now,
like
Grant.
To get the bank forms, though, signed tonight. And I think my frustration is that I think I've proven myself. I'm on my 3-year anniversary as the general manager of this district. And I think that my performance has been above reproach in all areas. And I want the authority in all aspects of the general manager. I want to be able to sign checks. I want to have access at the bank if I need it. I want to be empowered to do my job. And I don't think that I've done anything that gives the board any reservations about my integrity or my loyalty or my expertness and expertise in doing my job.
Yeah, I think your performance has been beyond reproach, and I don't think you need to worry about it, really.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, my wanting to wage lien isn't any sort of reflection on my level of confidence in you. I just want to review the policy handbook.
So everybody remembers their color.
That's all it
color.
Is. So.
So you have to sign. Understand
I
that.
Think
Thank
that's
you.
A perfectly legitimate thing to do.
Okay.
There's two forms.
And
then this was given to me. If Commissioner Howell's going to be on the safe deposit box, they want another KNC form. So if you want to take that to the bank.
I am free
as
between
you
9
back,
and noon tomorrow.
Past.
Grant.
Noon.
Or between 9 and noon. I have a conference call at noon.
Thank you, John.
Okay.
And then I'm free in the
Commissioner
afternoon.
Commissioner Patterson, you're the pink area.
You said you're free between 9 and 10.
Pink's important on the next form.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't
okay,
have
why don't we do 9?
You can find that pink dot
that
on the second
good.
Form after
you might
want to
meet
one.
Here.
Or
meet at the bank.
Could meet at the bank, yeah.
Okay, I got to remember where Banner Bank is. That's the one right on Boone's Ferry, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right across from the car wash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the brick building there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. All right, 9 a.m.
Yep.
And their lobby's open.
Meet.
Actually.
Grant H.
I'm looking at this. Am I on the box currently to open it?
No.
So can I go with you to open it?
Am I on the list?
You are. No, you're not.
No,
it's
no,
Sherry, Chris, and Jim. So.
Well, how'd that happen? The treasurer can't access the
board. I'm not here tomorrow, so.
No.
I mean, I guess we don't have to do it tomorrow, but until we submit the form to change it, I don't think that we can do that.
All right,
so.
let's update the form right now.
Correct.
Yeah.
And former Commissioner McDowell was still on the form.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
John's a good guy, but.
That's kind of
Well, he was the treasurer, so
he's
there
sort
you
of
go.
A
good guy on there.
Yeah, well, he's the one who dumped this on me a couple of years ago.
There's actually two forms.
I'm sorry, did
Where's
I miss
the other
form?
One?
Because this is the. Oh, I'm. Oh, Sherry's got it right here. She's just reading it.
And so, Chair Roth, you're yellow.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, did I skip you?
I like being red. That's the engineer color.
I know. You told me that when you got red. It used to be orange.
Thanks, Sherry.
And it has to be changed to red.
No, we'll pass them together. There you go.
Okay. And then, Commissioner Roth, you have... in the signatory, you and Commissioner McGurra have 3 checks that have to be signed for hydrant rentals. That will be added to the paper review. Did you want to start that around?
Okay. So why are we signing a lease?
It's for the box.
It's to have access. You have to have access to the box.
I thought what the other thing was. Oh, okay.
No, it's for financials. Where's the... other form.
Acme Construction Company was the
Yeah, this is your access
coyote.
Card to the safe deposit box.
Yep.
And this is your access, but you'll sign this, the renter's signature, every time you go in an entry. So they have this on file.
So, well, if we take that with us, can we get in there then?
You have to have the meeting minutes. Laurel is a stickler. Well, you could try, but
no.
Laurel Bunker.
No, no.
She
I,
is
I've
a
had,
stickler.
I had that stickler thing. I don't need Yeah,
no, she, but it's good. She's a stickler for
I had to get into the
following the rules.
The safe deposit box of my brother-in-law down in Oakland, and they closed the branch.
So what did they do with that?
Yeah, it was very secure. The whole building was closed. And they had to get some vice president had to come out and turn on the lights. And,
wow.
Yeah. So, been there, done that. So, Grant will do it.
Another time, perhaps.
Another time.
Well, you don't. I won't have the meeting minutes typed up or approved.
I say we'll wait
so
till after next month's meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. because we'll have to get it approved, and then we
can. Yeah, we're not going anyplace.
Exactly. I was going to say, yeah.
And we're not renewing it, so.
Well, you may, I don't know, I can't tell you, again, 100% certainty what's in the box, just what I was told. So.
Is there a business case for it moving forward, Janine, from your perspective?
Where
you would
I'm
find
sorry.
It useful for it to have a safety, for the district to have a
no.
safety deposit box?
Again, that's reserved for what's in the box. So
sure.
Not knowing what's in the box, I would say no, the district doesn't
Maybe
need
it's
a
gold coins or something.
A safe deposit box.
You never know.
Well, lost treasure. Speaking of lost treasure, I found a copy of the rules and regulations for the water district. I don't know these. I don't think they're dated. But I found these when I bought my house, if anyone's interested in reading them. And then this is a card
on it?
To set up new water service. I didn't see one, but I haven't looked through it super in depth.
This looks pretty ancient.
And then, Chris, there's the meeting minutes, and then the...
Are we done?
Engagement. Yeah, well, no, you've got one more thing to sign. The meeting minutes, please.
Oh, my last. I don't think any of that's valid anymore.
I know. Isn't it funny, though?
I wonder how old that is.
I mean, I bought my house from the original owner when it was built, so could be that old. Not sure.
What's the date today?
28th.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. June 1st,
1975. Jeez.
Wow.
My first crazy. Year in college. my oldest child wasn't even born yet.
75?
Mm-hmm. God. I know, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And then that's the engagement letter, Chris, for Jared and Seaver Pollard.
Yeah, I see that.
The audit's done, though, but it's still a matter of formality. You have to have the engagement letter signed.
Now, this is to pay for renting hydrants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is. Mm-hmm. No, for people that rented from us, this is very big for the district. We've never really done this. So
why are we paying them?
Okay, so.
I'm confused here.
Okay, so that's a new initiative.
Yeah.
People want to use our hydrants. They need to pay for our water.
Right.
So they rent a hydrant meter for us, and they're going to pay for their water use.
Okay, so this is a refund.
Mm-hmm. And so you'll look up here on your form that they have to pay a total of $1,650. That's non-refundable. That's ours. We're making $150 off every rental.
Okay.
And we're also
making, it's really a deposit.
Mm-hmm, right? We're also making this a month.
Okay.
This is another form that I redid.
Okay.
Because we were just basically giving our water away.
Chris,
so
you need to change
why are the
date
amounts,
on this initially for 2024.
Oh.
Why are the amounts slightly different? Then?
Because they rented it for
period of service.
6 days, I believe, and they only rented it for 5 days. They only used, what is that, 5 or 8? I can't read.
Unit,
right here.
4.2.
And these people used 12.
Pass it back.
Okay.
Or is he done with
it? He's done.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's and all districts do this. We were kind of behind the power curve
yes.
to
if
do that.
Yes. Somebody has to tell me what time it is.
It's 5:34.
Okay. We are adjourned at 5:34.
Something I didn't want to delay the meeting any, but I'll now before we all leave, I'll mention to you.
I have a question for you.
One of the little things about me is I'm an amateur historian.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up down in San Mateo, California.
Oh, yeah.
South of San Francisco. And as soon as I was old enough, me and my little posse to ride our bikes up into the hills, we went up to Crystal Springs Dam. And we'd crawl under the barbed wire and go stand on top of the dam and basically be kids. And I always had noticed that the dam looked like it was a whole big series of interlocking blocks. And it was. And it turns out it's the oldest mass concrete dam in the world.
Whoa.
Built in 1886.
Oh,
and in those days, a very interesting little factoid.
What's the name of the dam?
Crystal Springs Dam. It's the water supply for San Francisco. And until this was built in the 1880s, San Francisco never had an adequate supply of water. And The engineer was a German fellow who came to San Francisco to make his fortune, mm-hmm. and he did. Linked up with all the big power brokers, and it was the Gilded Age. There were people who had major money.
Days of the Rockefellers.
Yeah. Anyway, the dam has been in service for almost 140 years now. It survived the 1906 earthquake with zero damage, and the San Andreas Fault is 1,100 feet west of the dam. And it's so well engineered.
That's remarkable.
To get the cement to make the concrete is Portland cement. That's because Portland, England kind of invented modern
cement. Okay, that's where they came
Not
from.
Not Port George.
Yeah, no, I figured so. Yeah, it'd be older than that.
Herman Schuessler purchased it from Portland, England. And in the 1880s, they shipped it in barrels because they knew barrels were watertight. And if you don't have them watertight, your concrete's going to hydrate.
Sets.
Yeah. And they put it on clipper ships, mm-hmm. sailed it 16,000 miles from Portland, England, across the Atlantic Ocean, around the end of South America, up to San Francisco Bay, transshipped the barrels onto barges and up to Coyote Point, about 20 miles up the bay, put them on horse-drawn or ox-drawn freight wagons up to the dam site. Wow. And Schuessler invented a steam-powered mixing machine and also a rock crusher.
Oh, interesting.
And he said the stone, the crushed rock has to be washed and cleaned, which is modern state of the art. He did all this stuff, and it had never been done before. How the heck did this guy figure this out? So anyway, I put an application together. It never had been nominated as a National Historic Civil Engineering mm-hmm. Landmark. And it probably will end up being a world historic civil engineering mm-hmm. landmark because it's the oldest concrete dam in the world. But I put the application together. I got great support from SFPUC, and I bonded with their historian. I owe that guy a drink. There'll be a major dedication, hopefully late November. The plaque has to be cast and all that.
That's awesome.
And it's just a cool thing.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Talk about follow through. That's